Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Wake up. You already know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. It's Sunday morning, February 18th, man. How you guys feeling out there? Wake up. It's a beautiful Sunday morning today, man. And you already know what time it is. You are now locked into Revive Radio with me, your girl, POC. I will be reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today, each and every Sunday. We blessing the airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tune in. Spread the word. Spread the message. You already know you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we are now live on reviveisalive.com. Once again, you can find us on reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio to take you directly where you need to be right now. Click that link, spread the word, spread the message. You already know I got your girl Harmony, the goddess in the building. How you feeling this morning, Harmony?
Peace, love, and light to the planet. I'm feeling well. I'm feeling good. It's a beautiful day outside. I went outside just to get a fresh air, and I cannot wait to the rest of this day. I'm just going to enjoy this weather. Because yesterday, I don't know what was going on the East Coast. But today, I'm going to enjoy this weather.
It was definitely snowing last night. Like, I looked out my window. I was like, yo, it's snowing? Who said it was going to snow? Like, do the weatherman still warn us that it's going to snow anymore? Or is it just something that just happens and, you know, we all just catching the wave as it's just happening? Because I had no clue it was about to snow.
It was snowing and raining, so it was like a slush. It was heavy at one point, and then it went into the rain. I don't know. Mother Nature, she just wants to do what she wants to do, especially with all this manipulation going on around.
Facts, definitely, because I was like, yo, snow, and then we wake up this morning, I'm like, yo, on the way to the studio, it's so bright and sunny out here. I'm like, what happened? Like, what is really going on? Like, I really want to know what's going on. And if you got the answers to what's going on when it comes to this weather, like, one minute it's snowing, one minute it's raining, you already know. I need you all to give me a call this morning, 215-490-9832. Once again, that number's 215-490-9832. I want to hear from you guys all morning, man. We have a jam-packed show for you guys. We have two amazing guests coming on the show today. We got Hood Estates about to bless the Revive airways, and we got Linnell Grant. Man, I'm really excited to be speaking with her. She's doing some amazing things. She caught my attention after the Nigerian bobsled team, the track that she did entitled History. She caught my attention after that. I was like, yo, we have to get her on the Revive platform, and I'm really excited that she's definitely coming through today supporting us here on Revive. And I already know she's gonna drop some gems, so I need you guys to stay in the loop, and if you have any questions for her, man, make sure you guys give us a call. And Hood Estates, man, they're doing some big things. They're turning the game of real estate all the way around, and that's why I need to speak with them, man. We all need to talk with them. So if you're someone who's interested in buying back the block, definitely this is a conversation you need to be a part of. This is something that you need to be listening to and spreading the word, spreading the message, so everyone around you can be listening to the same conversation. So definitely stay tuned to that. And we're also going to be talking to two people today about the Florida shooting that happened this past week in the school, as well as just gun control in general. We're going to be having Derek Ham coming on, as well as Brax from the Left Side of Politics. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that, man. This is going to be a really, really big one. Yo, Harmony, when you hear about the Florida shooting, like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, like, when you just hear about, you know, mass shootings, school shootings, things like that? Like, what do you think about? Like, what's the first thing that pops up in your mind?
I think about gun laws. Which I'm not too educated about, but I think about gun laws, and I think about what is the motive behind going into a school with innocent children and shooting people's families up. I think about it, the sadness of it. I think about innocent lives lost for no apparent reason, or because of ego, or because of greed, or whatever the case may be. I'm not really sure, but I think this is a very trying time, especially with everything going on in the United States, in this world. So I'm thinking about gun laws first. That's what I'm thinking about.
Definitely. I mean, I'm thinking about gun laws too, but it honestly comes down to me when I first hear about school shootings and all of this stuff, I think so much further and deeper into the situation because it all boils down to the money. It really all boils down to the money, especially on the Republican side. And that's why they don't want to change the gun laws. And that's why, you know, the NRA is not really doing too much or speaking up too much about these situations because it affects their pockets. It affects their money and it affects them being billionaires, you know what I mean? And millionaires. So if they actually speak up and speak out about it and change the rules and change the regulations, that means they'll be changing their income per year. And that's not what many billionaires want to do. They want to remain billionaires. So they have to figure out a way that they can remain billionaires, but then still keep us as, you know, American citizens happy. And at this current time, we as American citizens are not happy about this because we're the ones that are, you know, losing our family members. We're the ones that are being scared to go into the schools, the public schools. So 9 out of 10, their kids are not in these public schools. You know what I'm saying? So it's like one mass shooting after another. Let's just think about it. We're just mourning about the mass shooting in Las Vegas that just happened. You know what I'm saying? This was at a country western concert. So it's now affecting them too. It's now affecting people that look like them too. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just mass shootings in black neighborhoods, which they're calling black on black crimes. No. It's white on white crimes happening now. So it's like, are they going to do something differently about it? Or are they still going to be like, yo, it's part of the amendment. We can carry guns if we want to. We can do whatever we want. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's just like, they're really not about to affect their pockets. And that's the sad part about it. And that's really the sad part about it. And I really wish the NRA would speak out about this. And I think that's why, you know, it's important that platforms like Revive continue to spread this word, continue to spread this message, because they're not going to speak up. And you're not going to hear any reports coming out by the NRA because, once again, they're not trying to lose their money. So, once again, we have Derek Cam coming through and Brax coming through from the Left Side of Politics to talk about this. I'm really excited to be speaking on this. And Dare is actually someone who's from Tallahassee, Florida. So she will be speaking from a perspective of actually being a citizen who resides in the state of Florida. So I think that this will be really big, getting some information from someone who actually lives in Florida, because Florida is an open carry state. You know what I mean? So many different things happen in states that have, you know, that don't have restricted gun laws. And I really want to hear about this, definitely coming out of one of George Bush states. But yo, before we get into that, I also wanted to talk about the LeBron James situation. Fox News. Did you see that? I put that post up yesterday on Fox News. The Fox News commentator simply said that he needs to just sit down and dribble a ball. What? Really? And don't you need to be doing something, reporting actual news? You over here, taking... And ESPN, I don't respect ESPN or whatever, but ESPN is doing something different. They're trying to broaden their horizon, so they're doing a podcast where they have the different athletes and, you know, they're driving around and it's making them look normal citizens. It's making them look like they have, you know, just regular time. Like they're just regular people, right? So they have this podcast thing where they get in the cars and they're driving around and they're just having normal conversations. And Kevin Durant and LeBron James, which is one of the biggest superstars in the NBA right now, were having a conversation. Like Kevin Durant asked them a question about fatherhood, talked about, you know, when he was in high school as a freshman, he looked up to him as a senior, this, then, the third. It was actually a beautiful conversation. But then they asked them a question about politics, right? And when they asked him a question about politics, LeBron James told his truth. He told his truth about Donald J. Trump. You know what I mean? The man that, you know, is our so-called president. He told his truth. And the commentator on Fox did not like it. Laura Ingraham. I'm calling her out all the way out. Laura Ingraham did not like it at all. And I really feel like she was reading off the teleprompter, too, because if you really listen to the backstory, and one of our comments on Instagram peeped that, too. If you really listen to the background of it, like, it's really saying something about a dumb jock. Like, she's being coached to actually say what she was saying. But at the same time, she still had the balls to go up there and say that on national, international TV, because she was on Fox News. So you can catch that anywhere around the world, right? So it's like, when you think about athletes and politics, Harmony, I want to ask you, and I definitely want other people to give us a call too, because I want to hear your perspective on it too. 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. So when you hear politics and athletes, do you think they should mix? Do you think they should coincide? Do you think athletes should just stay athletes and leave the politics alone? Like, what do you think? Because she came down to it. Her opinion was, We cannot take politic advice for someone who makes $100,000 a year to dribble basketball, but we're taking politic advice from Donald Trump, who used to make $1 million a year, bankrupt, flipped that, came back, you know, created more different things at the, all at the same time to show that he's not an actual really good businessman. He's just really smart at what he does. But anyway, so do you think that we should mix the two? Do you think that athletes should be able to speak up and speak out because they have freedom of speech? They have that law too. You know what I mean? That amendment, I'm sorry. They still have that first right amendment to speak up and speak out on whatever they want to. Or do you think they should just remain athletes?
No, I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you when, you know, you talk about the freedom of speech. So I definitely agree with you with the whole freedom of speech. I think everybody should have their opportunity to share their own perspective about any topic that is going on, regardless if you are in sports, regardless if you are in politics, or if you are a teacher. If you have a perspective on something, if you have an opinion on something, if you don't think something is right, speak up and speak out. And I think that's what we need to do. Allow our voice to be heard, because somebody else is not going to say it. And if they disagree with us, now let's have a conversation where it comes to an understanding. Why do you disagree? Why aren't we on the same page? Like, it's okay to have disagreements. It's okay to not believe in something that somebody else believes in. Like, everybody's not the same. So for her to say that, for her to speak out and say what she said, I mean, it's not surprising because, come on, we're talking about Fox News here. But at the same time, you got to understand, like, somebody else is not going to think like you. And your opinion might not be validated either. So who gave you the right to even speak about what LeBron said? So I think it's more about perspective and speaking out and allowing your voice to be heard. And, you know, if you don't agree with something, okay, just stand your ground, though, and make sure you stand behind that. Don't allow anybody else to change that. That's how I feel about it.
I'm actually happy and excited, honestly, truly, that, you know, someone of the caliber of LeBron James is actually speaking up on topics that are, you know, that need to be heard. You know, when it comes to politics, you have to understand these NBA superstars, these NFL superstars, these entertainers, you know, who live in the world of Hollywood, they have a job to do. They have a job to do. Honestly, truly, they do have a job to do. One, their job is to be entertainers. That's what they do get paid for. You know what I mean? Just like if our job was to be a cashier, we do have to be the cashier. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I'm excited that they're speaking out because of the amount of impact they have on the world and society every day. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James can say one thing and we all are hooked on it because they call him King James. You know what I'm saying? So because of the impact that he has, I appreciate him speaking out, because now he has, you know, the seven-year-olds, the 8-year-olds, the 17-year-olds that look up to him as King James now saying, yo, he just said something about Donald Trump that I never heard before. You know what I mean? Maybe I should look into this now. When he goes to do his different camps across the world, the LeBron James basketball camps across the world, and he's speaking to these 8-year-olds who only know Donald Trump. You know what I mean? They only had two perspectives, a Barack Obama and a Donald J. Trump. You know, he could be that one to break it down, to be relatable, to be transparent. At the same time, these kids need a leader to speak up and speak out about things that they understand in their day-by-day 24 hours. Fox News would never appear to an 8-year-old boy growing up in Akron, Ohio. LeBron James, you know what I'm saying? He would never appear to a little girl growing up on the south side of Chicago. He would never be able to speak to me and I would be able to relate. But someone like LeBron James, or, you know, Kevin Durant, or, you know, a Lupita, you know, these people speaking up and speaking out, what's Angela Rye, these people speaking up, I can relate to them because they have been through what I'm going through now, physically still, and they are someone who has been there in the actual trenches to be able to, like, yo, I've seen this with my own two eyes. I feel this. And then because he makes $100,000 a year and he's not scared to lose it by saying what he wants to say. And many people, like I was speaking about the NRA earlier, they're scared to lose those checks. That's why they don't speak out. They're scared their endorsements are going to get cut. They're scared, you know, people who supported Donald Trump and the Republicans, the big businesses that supported Donald Trump, will pull out. He doesn't care. Because at the end of the day, he's still going to be one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived. That didn't come from me, you guys. I don't really think he's the greatest of all time. But he is a great basketball player. I just had to throw that out there because I'm a ball player myself. So I didn't want to, you know, put out things that I don't really believe. But I'm just saying, he is a great player. He's definitely a great player. He has done things that other players have not done. But anyway, to get back to the story, and I respect Draymond Green because Draymond Green spoke up too as well. Like, and then the hashtag went around and actually went viral yesterday. I am more than an athlete. And I think that these athletes are definitely more than athletes because they are also role models. They are also mentors. They are also people who give back to the community each and every day. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick with the 100K, you know, the matching with the 100K. You know what I mean? People he got, you know, as celebrities to give back to different organizations that we may never hear about because they're, you know, nonprofit organizations in different small town communities around the world. But these different athletes are pulling together and doing something so we can see the difference that they can make as celebrity athletes. So I'm excited that LeBron James spoke out, and I hope more athletes speak out, and I hope more athletes take note that Fox News, the same people that want interviews from them, the same people that are calling, knocking on their door, banging for an exclusive, are the same ones that are racist, are the same ones that are talking about them behind their back, the same ones that would deliberately put out false narratives about you all at the same time. So definitely, man, I really hope they wake up about this, and as Angela Rye would say, I hope they continue to work woke. We have to work woke. We can't just be woke. We have to work woke. You got to put in that work so people can truly understand what it means to make a change and start a movement in this world, in the society that we live in today. Or we're going to continue to have these same conversations about mass shootings going on in America, right? Man, this is crazy. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up with our first two guests speaking on gun control and the Florida shooting that just happened this past week. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we have Hood Estates. We also have Linnell Grant. Man, I'm really excited to be speaking with the both of them. They are making game-changing impacts in the lanes that they have created for themselves. Make sure you guys stay tuned. It's me, your girl, POC. Follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. And you already know, click that link in my bio to take you directly where you need to be, reviveisalive.com. Once again, that is reviveisalive.com. Click that link, baby. We alive, baby. We going all the way to 1 p.m. You know what time it is.
Time for An Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger.
Congratulations, you've just been accepted into the college of your dreams. But there's one issue that many Americans face when going into college: money. One way people choose to fix this issue is by taking out a student loan. While in the short run it may seem helpful, if one goes a long time without paying their dues, it can result in one of the biggest problems Americans face today: student loan debt. According to reports made by the Federal Reserve in 2017, 44.2 million U.S. citizens have some sort of student loan debt. This adds up to a total of $1.44 trillion in student loan debt, with average people paying $351 per month. Please, be smart, and remember to pay off your student debt loans, or you'll be paying for it another way.
I'm All across America, people dream of home ownership. Your race, national origin, color of your skin should not affect your dream of owning a home. All too often, lenders target minorities and minority communities with bad loan products, destroying dreams and ruining lives. Lending discrimination is unlawful. If you believe a lender has targeted you with a bad loan, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777. Or go to HUD's website, hud.gov/fairhousing. HUD. One call, many answers.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We are back live on Revive Radio, man. You are listening to Meet Your Girl, POC. We are going all the way up until 1 p.m. today. Go ahead and click that link in my bio to take you directly where you need to be at reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. We revive your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. I'm going to go ahead and get started with our conversation today, man. I'm really excited to be speaking with both of them. I think they're going to bring an amazing perspective to this conversation today. First, we have Dara Cam coming out of Tallahassee, Florida. She's a writer for New Service Florida, based in Tallahassee, Florida. How you doing today, Dara?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, Dara. We also have someone joining us from the left side of politics. He goes by the name of Brax. How are you doing today, Brax?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm excited to be speaking with both of you guys because, as we all know, this past week we had another mass shooting, you know, in the United States. And this time it was in Florida. It was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was a shooting at a school. It was a school shooting, and it took away 17 lives. And I want to start with you, Dara, because you're actually in Florida. How did the state, I know you're not actually in Fort Lauderdale, but how did this affect the state of Florida this past week?
Well, it's really divided people who were already divided on the really raw issue of gun rights, gun ownership, and gun laws that, you know, now the people on the left, not even on the left, even some Republicans, including the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, are saying, well, we have to look at our laws to see what we're not doing or if anything, to make sure that mentally ill people, seems that this Nicholas Cruz, are able to purchase guns. We don't have, in Florida right now, the only restriction from being able to purchase a gun is if you have been Baker Acted, that is involuntarily committed. For treatment, mental health treatment, or if you have voluntarily admitted yourself for treatment. So that is a pretty high standard for many people, you know, in who are saying we need to do more. Of course, as usual, the debate is focused on for gun owners and for the NRA and other gun rights groups. They're focusing their debate on mental health and what we need to do to make sure that mentally ill people don't have access to guns. They're not going quite that far in what they say, but they say the issue is mental health. And then finally, it's creating even more controversy because folks who have been trying for years in Florida to allow guns on school campuses, now they're saying this is, you know, if somebody had been there with a concealed weapons permit, somebody who knows how to use a gun had been on campus, they might have been able to prevent this. So as you can imagine, very raw, very emotional debate. And the children of the school, I think, I hope we get some time to chat about that because these children have really changed, I think, what is the usual dialogue.
Definitely. I agree with you there, too. And Brax, I know you guys covered this a little bit on this past week on TLS. Could you go ahead and give your opinion about what happened this past week in Florida?
Well, I mean, like, the facts are the facts. It's just we keep having this conversation. So school shootings are kind of like more near and dear to me because, as you recall, what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, that was only an hour from me. And so my whole thing is that, you know, like when you have individuals that keep going into schools and murdering children, like there shouldn't be a reason why when I send my child to school, each day I have to worry about somebody going in there and shooting up the school or somebody like, you know, taking a gun and like trying to bring harm. Like I shouldn't have to worry about that. Like when my child's at school where they should be safe, like learning. So, I mean, we did ask a question this week, you know, like about gun control and things, and, you know, that sparked a debate on the page. That's normal. But from my personal opinion, the thing about gun control, it's not saying to take away anybody's guns. It's just saying, okay, like we need to look at who's allowed to own a gun and like what are the steps that they go through. And then also, too, like on the flip side, like people owning assault rifles and all these like dangerous ass guns, excuse my language, but like it's true, like you don't need, some people don't need the guns that they're able to purchase. Like what are you going to do with that? Like what do you feel that you need to protect yourself from in your house that you need a gun that's that dangerous?
Yes, I think that Senator Bill Nelson, a U.S. senator from Florida, said it in this way. He said, you know, he's been hunting. He grew up on a ranch and he's been hunting all his life. And he said, those guns are not for killing, for hunting. Those guns are for killing.
Facts.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I appreciate
people,
you.
I think, is what he meant.
Definitely. And this leads to my next question, right? So the NRA, I don't think that they're holding accountability for everything that's going on when it comes to the mass shootings in America, as well as the school shootings in America. And I want to hear your opinion on it, Brax. When it comes to the NRA, how much responsibility do you actually feel that they have?
Like responsibility, like to say something or to actually do something?
Honestly, both. Both.
Well, so I mean, so the NRA, basically from what I've seen from the NRA, and I mean, it's unfortunate that like, you know, only like my most heavily, like most of the heavy research you do in the NRA comes like around like when there's a shooting. And then after that, it's like the same narrative, you know, you kind of forget about it, it goes in the back of your head. And then when it comes up again, you know, you go back to it. But from what I see from them, like when something like this happens, their first like thing is like, oh, well, you know, like it's not the guns, it's people, and you know, don't take away our guns, and like try to create like this whole like the whole narrative of the left's gonna try and take your guns because of this happening. And that's what I seem to see like from the NRA. Like each time. Like it's just like turn it around, like, no, like if the issue is not the guns, it's the issue is the people. And, you know, like every American has the right to bear arms. It's like, okay, yes, I get that. But, like, you need to take accountability and say, like, okay, like, we need to do something about the people who are able to obtain guns, like, maybe about the type of guns that we are selling, like, in the United States. I just feel like they need to take more accountability for what's going on instead of, like, I feel like we're playing the blame game on both sides. Like, they want to blame the left, and on the flip side, like, and on, and from another perspective, like, liberals, like, just want to, like, go ahead and blame NRA and then blame Republicans and say, you know, this is why you should vote for us because we're going to do gun control. And it's like, okay, instead of playing the blame game, let's sit down at the table and figure out how we're going to prevent this from happening. Because my thing is that this has happened so much that it's just getting, I'm just getting tired of, like, okay, well, how do we prevent this? Like, why are we still asking that question?
That's a fact, too. And my thing when it comes to the NRA, I really think that they just don't want to hurt their own pockets. Because, you know, if you start to make stricter gun laws and you start to make stricter rules about how to sell the guns and the things like that, that starts to affect their income, you know, yearly. And I feel like most of the people who are a part of the NRA, they're billionaires. They're millionaires, you know what I mean? So they want to remain billionaires and millionaires. And that's why they don't want to change the different laws surrounding gun control. And, Dara, I definitely want to hear your opinion as well.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in. I have a couple of thoughts about this. I mean, most of the members of the NRA aren't billionaires and millionaires. They're, you know, more like Joe Lunchbuckety kind of guys, although they do raise tons of money. I think I have a, I,
You know, Florida has been a testing ground for NRA-backed laws. We were the first state in the nation to pass the Stand Your Ground law. I was there in Governor Jeb Bush's office with Marion Hammer, who is a former president of the NRA nationally, who is the Florida lobbyist for the NRA. I was there in the governor's office when he signed that bill into law 10 years ago, or more than 10 years ago. We've seen, they have an agenda and they push it, and that's what they use their money for. And they're very powerful. They can get folks unelected. But I think, you know, this is just my opinion, you know, and a lot of other people believe this as well. The responsibility laws is in the hands of the lawmakers. And if they're too weak, or if they're, if they're too afraid of the NRA, I think that the responsibility lies on them and not on the NRA. They ultimately are the ones who pass the laws. So if we are going to be angry at somebody, there's a lot of fingers that we can point at.
Definitely. But, Darlene, you made one great point, and you said that the NRA has, you know, some power or some effect of how the lawmakers actually get elected. You know what I mean? So they play a hand in it. You know what I mean? How most Republicans actually come into office.
Yes, that's true. And we have seen, you know, I've been through this sadly so many times before when there's a horrific shooting. As you remember, less than 2 years ago, we had the Pulse shooting, which was the worst mass shooting in the nation's history in Orlando. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people were outraged and people were demanding change. And, you know, nothing happened after that. Now, because I think what's different here is you've got children, and I'm so sorry about the Newtown school shooting. Those children obviously were so young, and it's their parents who carried on that fight for stricter gun laws in the aftermath of that horrible event. And now, though, you've got these children who are so eloquent and so articulate, demanding change, that are survivors of the Parkland shooting. And oh, by the way, let me just mention, I know Parkland. Parkland is a very affluent community in the very, very heavily Democratic county of Broward County in Florida. So I'm thinking that if these folks who live there are able to, you know, support candidates that they believe will further an agenda that would do more to pass what they call common sense gun bills, then that, and combined with the voices of these children, that might make a difference. Historically, the mass shootings have not swayed voters. They're already dug in. They're either for gun right, you know, they're either, like you said, you know, don't take my guns away, which is what they view on any kind of gun restrictions. Or they are, you know, on the other side. And it seems almost incredible that these types of events until now have not really moved the needle.
Exactly, Darren. I agree with you there. We do have a call on the line, so I want to get to this caller to see if they have something that they want to comment on this conversation. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello, this is Afia. I'm calling from West Twilling. Happy Sunday. I definitely wanted to weigh in on the conversation. I like the direction in which the conversation is going, but I just think that in regards to moving the needle, in regards to policy reform, I hope and pray that this school shooting will really actually do something. And unfortunately, it has to take these mass tragedies to really weigh in on, you know, really weigh in the rooms where policies are being made. But I think that we thought that gun laws were going to be enforced stricter when Sandy Hook happened. And little kids are honestly continuing to get shot and killed, if not injured, and be forced to have PTSD and all these other things as a residual impact of the shooting. So I think that, yes, these are, you know, these are students with you know, more vocabulary and, you know, different resources to pull in. But I think that politicians are just really at this point selfish and really don't care. And if it doesn't affect them and their household, then they can just go into these boardrooms and vote blindly without even really thinking about people in their everyday lives.
Thank you for your comment. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you calling in, Afia. Thank you for that. We also have another caller on the line, you guys, I want to get to before we actually get back into the conversation. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? All right.
Oh, how you doing? It's Patrick from Maryland.
Hey, Patrick, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
I'm good. Did you want to jump into the conversation?
I just jumped in. I'm not sure what it's about. So.
Okay, I'm going to let you listen for a second. So, Dara and Brax, right? So this leads into my next question. We were talking about accountability. I asked you guys about the accountability from the NRA. So I also wanted to ask you about the accountability from the media, right? So the media is portraying Mr. Cruz as a child, you know, who has some mental health disorders or who has a mental health issue. How do you feel like the media is spinning the story as him being a child? How do you think that helps us as citizens to pretty much fully understand what's going on when it comes to mass shooting and also mental health? And I want to start with you, Dar.
Well, I think anybody who's referring to him as a child is inaccurate. He's 19 years old, so under any definition, he's an adult. He wouldn't certainly have been able to purchase an assault rifle in Florida if he were a child. So I think that's inaccurate, and whoever's done that should issue a correction and move away from that. I think what you're getting at is the media, maybe you can help me out, is the media portraying him as somewhat of a sympathetic character because he's young and appeared to have a troubled mental past and, you know, he slipped through the cracks, that he slipped through a canyon, I heard one politician say the other day. And, you know, perhaps he did, but he still did these, you know, these horrific things. I've heard that he's, you know, he's pled guilty. He's trying to work out a plea deal where he would avoid the death penalty. I don't know how... You can only portray someone in the way that they are, you know, in terms of the facts of the case. So the investigators were called to his home. The police were called to his home on many occasions. His lawyers are saying he has some mental, acuity problems or mental depression or something like that. These are things that his defense lawyers are going to want to lay out to try to set a predicate for a defense that said he was mentally ill and he wasn't. If you can prove that you are mentally disturbed, that means that you're not eligible for the death penalty in Florida. And we are a state that not only has the death penalty, but we do carry out executions. So, it is.
I'm
not sure how much of that is to blame with the media. You can all, you know, you have to tell the truth about who this man is and the life that he lived.
Exactly. And I was going to say, Dara, like, I really do think that, you know, them trying to spin the story saying he's a child, he has mental health issues, this, that, and the third. I really want to say that that's BS, honestly, because he was putting things out on Facebook. He was putting things out on social media. So we already knew what he was about.
Absolutely.
Prior to him even,
yeah,
you know, going into the school that day. He had on, like, yeah, a bulletproof backpack. He had on, you know, the big assault
Yeah,
rifles.
Remember,
he knew what he was doing.
He was charged with premeditated murder.
Exactly.
So it's not like he snapped, you know, suddenly and grabbed a gun that was in his car and went on a rampage.
Exactly.
This was premeditated, absolutely, and well thought out and well planned.
Yes, exactly. But we do have another caller there, and I want to get back to this caller. And Brax, I still want to hear your opinion, too. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Afia. I just have one more comment, because I'm glad you guys are bringing this up in regards to the media and how we portray shooters. I'm an African-American woman, and I think it's very frustrating in which the media portrays these shooters, especially in mass shootings, because if there was anything else like a bombing or any other tragedy,
you know, on American soil, it would have automatically been, oh, well, he has a little melanin. This is, you know, a terrorist attack, or this is, you know, a thug on a rampage. But it's really frustrating the way that they categorize mass shooters because they try to put this halo on them after this catastrophic act, and it's really not that. So calling this criminal like a child and having mental health issues, now that creates a in regards to how we deal with mental health and the services that are provided to people who, you know, have mental health issues and just counseling and funding and different things of that nature. So that's a larger conversation. But I think just in regards to how the media portrays shooters, that has to be addressed in itself because that controls the narrative as well. I just wanted to call in and jump in on that.
Now, I appreciate your passion, definitely. And when you made that comment, it actually made me think about what happened in South Carolina with Dylann Roof. You know, Dylann Roof went in the church and he killed, you know, about 8 or 9 people. And this young man, he actually killed 17 people. You know what I mean? That's a very large number. And for them to sit him down and say he's a child, it's like, okay, so are you going to charge him, you know, as a child, or are you going to charge him as an adult based on the way that you're spinning
the story?
Exactly. So thank
you.
Yeah, but
they pacify them. They pacify them to say, oh, it's okay. You know, it was bad, but like, we're just going to, like, you know, couch you through. Where it was anybody else, they would have put them under the jail, or they probably wouldn't necessarily have made it out alive. So I just, yeah, something has to be done.
I appreciate
that
comment.
Stay in the conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that comment. And Brax, I would love to hear your opinion on it as well. When it comes to the media, because we're all part of the media, you know, we have a job to do when we put out these different stories, right? To tell nothing but the truth. So what is your opinion on that when it comes to the media and how they tried to spin it and, you know, calling him a child and he has mental issues and things like that?
So basically what I think Athea just said when she called in is what I was going to get at, is that, you know, depending on the background of somebody, like there's always this picture painted, and like, not to say that gun control and like shootings, like they're not like a racial issue, like it's an issue for everybody, but depending on the background of the person, like I had this person been of like Muslim faith, thing like that, then they've been like, oh, this is, you know, this is a terrorist attack, right? Like I said, like, had it been like a person like who was Black, and like, I know his last name is Cruz, but I believe he's a doctor, like I haven't looked too much into the background of the shooter, so I mean, like with this particular situation, I have to like dig a little bit more, but it's like we see, like, depending on the background of the person is how the media will start to like paint the picture, and then, you know, the comments from the politicians and things like that. And so, like, with basically what's good, it's like when something like this happens, I believe it's domestic terrorism, no matter what, no matter your background, whatever, like this, like, should be seen as a domestic terrorist attack. But it's only seen that way given the background of the person, which I don't think is fair. And I do believe the media plays a big part in that. And I mean, like, some people may not agree with that, some people may agree. That's my personal opinion.
Definitely, definitely. So I just want to ask another question because we do have to wrap up. So I do want to ask another question. I'm going to start with you again, Dara. So when it comes to mental health and mass shootings, do you think the two can actually play the same game? Like, do you think they should be able to coincide with each other, or that shouldn't be an excuse when it comes to mental health and mass shootings? Do you think that they should be able to use that as an excuse still in 2018?
Well, that's a complicated question. I don't think that, I mean, there is, in terms of a defense, the Supreme Court has said that people who have an IQ below 70 are not eligible for the death penalty, and that is not a hard and fast number. That's just as an aside. There's no question that we need to spend more money and allocate more resources to addressing mental health issues. But should, you know, I think that really the question should be, should people who have a history of mental health problems, as this man appeared to have had, should they be able to purchase a gun? I mean, I think that is a basic starting point, don't you think?
Yes.
If you have a history of killing animals and torturing animals, and you got expelled from a school, and you're showing, you're declaring on social media that you want to be known as an active school shooter, as a school shooter, and you have had other mental health problems, and the police were called to your house dozens of times,
don't you think there should be something in the system that says this person can't buy a gun?
Yes.
I mean, I think we should all be able to agree on that, but we can't because the NRA, and I don't know how they feel on, you know, what their answer today will be on all those questions, but historically they have balked at putting any additional restrictions on the purchase of guns, other than like what I said in Florida we have, which is Baker Act. And you know, and so I think that is, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. And that's what these children are saying.
Exactly.
Okay, yes, fine, spend money on mental health and do something to help people. But you've also got to do something to restrict the access to guns to everyone. I mean, because not everyone is suited to have a weapon where they can go into a school and kill, you know, more than a dozen people. And but for, he could have killed many, many more people. And for some reason, he stopped.
Exactly. Because his conscious mind kicked in. You know what I mean? His conscious mind fully kicked
in.
But
I don't even want to try to figure out what was going on in his mind. But
that's,
let's just say, he had 100, you know, he had many, many more rounds of the ammunition, and he could have gone on for a longer period of time. And fortunately, he didn't. But I mean, something's got to change. And I hate to say that, it sounds trite, but I think everyone, you know, with the possibility of the, you know, perhaps not the NRA, but everyone, even Republicans in Florida who have never even been, you know, who have only given sort of pretended to say, yes, we need to look at gun laws, but have not really been serious about it. They now realize that you have to, that we have to, that dialogue has got to begin, and it should have begun yesterday.
And that is definitely a fact, man. That's definitely a fact. And what about you, Brax? I want to hear your comment.
So, mental health is a very in-depth topic in itself, and the only thing I can say to that, it should be used as a scapegoat, but at the same time too, if somebody really does suffer from mental health issues and like have issues like that, like just like going back to like conversation we were having earlier too, like they shouldn't have been able to purchase a gun in the first place, like point blank. Like that, case in point, like that's what it is. So for it to be used like so heavily, like for the defense to be using it so much, like, oh, this person's suffering from mental health issues, I feel like that's what politicians should be looking at. Like, okay, well, keep seeing that people are saying that they keep saying these people shouldn't schools have mental health issues. So what are we doing to prevent people who have diagnosed mental health issues, like, mm-hmm. to stop them from buying guns? Because not like, oh, well, I should have school now, all of a sudden, you know, like, I suffer from this. Like, no, was it diagnosed before, or do you just now have it because you don't want to stand mm-hmm. trial?
Exactly.
But like, it's like such, like with this topic, like it's such a broad topic. Like, I don't want to start a conversation now because it can go a whole completely different way. So that's just what I'm going to say, like, on this. And that's it for now.
And you guys both of you guys definitely made some valid points and spoke some valid facts too. But I have one last question for both of you. And I really just want a one word answer. I don't want you guys to explain it. I really just want you guys to give a one word answer. And then I want you to introduce yourselves as well before we exit here today. But do guns kill people or do people kill people? And I'm going to start with you, Brax.
I'll answer. I'll give you time to think. People kill people. That's
yes.
it. You said you one word answer, people.
Right,
period.
People.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, like people kill people, but they shouldn't be, but like,
Max,
yeah,
word,
people kill
word.
People.
People
that's
kill
what
people or do guns kill people? I'm with both of you guys, and I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, Dara. Tell the people where you are and how they can find more of your work.
Hey, I'm Dara Cam. I'm the senior writer for the News Service of Florida in Tallahassee. You can follow me on Twitter at the Dara Cam, and you can check out my blog, Truth or Dara, at nsfblogs.com.
perfect there. I appreciate you coming on the Revive platform and supporting us today.
Thanks
I
for
really,
having
really
me.
Love your commentary. Really, really do. Thank you for your support. And Brax, go ahead and give yourself a shout out as well.
All right. My name is Braxton. I'm a contributor at TLS Politics. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at TLS Politics. And also our website, TLSpolitics.com.
Perfect, man. Brax, I appreciate you. Shout out to the whole TLS family, man, always coming through and supporting us here on Revive. Have a great week, Brax.
You too.
That just wrapped up a great, great, great conversation with both Derek Ham and Brax from TLS Politics, man. They were pretty much just dropping gems. I wanted to have an open conversation about what's going on when it comes to mass shootings, what's going on when it comes to mental health in mass shootings and how they tie together or if they should tie together in at all, you know what I mean, at any point. And I want to hear from you guys, too, as you guys are listening. I definitely want to hear from you guys. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. We're reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today, man. We're about to get into the second half of the show today. Once again, we have Hood Estates coming on, and we also have Linnell Grant coming through, blessing the Revive airways. I need you guys to stay in the loop, and how you can do that is subscribe to the Revive newsletter, and you can find it at reviveisalive.com. Once again, you can find that directly on reviveisalive.com. Yo, Harmony, we just sat through an amazing conversation with both Brax and Dara. Like, how do you feel about, you know, mass shootings? I wanted to ask you the same question that I asked you. Do you think, and you got to give me one word, do you think people kill people or do you think guns kill people? One word answer. Let me hear it.
I'm definitely going with the people killing people.
I want to, man, what y'all thinking out there, too? Do people kill people or do guns kill people? I want to hear y'all one-word answers. That number, once again, is 215-490-9832. So far, we got three. We got three of the same answers. People kill people. I want to know what you guys are thinking out there, man. Give us a call. Once again, 215-490-9832. It's me, your girl, POC. We about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up with our next guest. Stay tuned. You already know. Click that link in my bio.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself and for dragging you up, not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there. The man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun. Blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
We'll be right back. credit card, known to many as a mere modern convenience, though the truth is far more disturbing. This little piece of plastic and metals is a common commodity in the American household. You may have seen your mother buying groceries with one, or using it to treat herself to a brand new vacuum cleaner, and thought little of it. But looks can be deceiving, and this mother's little helper is quite the deceiver. You see, it may seem easy to pay for things with this card, but soon you will learn that there is a price for frivolous spending, and you will be led down a dark path, the path of debt.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time.
POC host of Revive. You are now locked into Revive Radio. We revive your airways each and every Sunday here on Time for an Awakening from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So you already know I need you guys to spread the word, spread the message. Reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio to take you directly where you need to be. You can find that on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC. We have our special guests coming through today, man. I'm really excited to be speaking with them. They are changing and making so much of an impact in the lane they have created for themselves. We are going to be speaking with Hood Estate. Yo, Harmony, go ahead and tell people a little bit about Hood Estate.
Yes, yeah, so we have Pocky Judson Sr. Pocky has been in the real estate world for over 14 years as an investor and consultant. Most of his success has been through purchasing tax deeds in Florida properties for over 10 years. He has created a nice portfolio of real estate in Jacksonville, Florida, in low-income areas labeled The Hood. Buying in The Hood birthed his brand, Hood Estate. He constantly uses his success to reach one and teach one, knowing that if he plants a seed in good soil, it will grow. Thank you so much and welcome to the platform.
Hood Estate, you're in a building. How I feel, man. I'm excited to be speaking with you guys this morning.
What's hood? What's hood?
What's hood? I love it, man. And so it's Pocky, right? I'm saying it right. Pocky.
Yes. Well, Pocky. Pocky. Tomato, tomato.
No, I want to call you by your right name, brother, because I respect you and definitely everything that you are doing down there in Florida. Yo, Pocky, so before we get started, I do just want to ask you a quick question because you're actually in Fort Lauderdale, correct?
We actually in Jacksonville. We're from Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, but we've been in Jacksonville for about 4 years.
Okay, and this past week we had that mass shooting that went on down there in Florida. How do you feel about it? Like, can you give us a quick perspective? Your quick perspective on it?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. I know that area because I've been in Fort Lauderdale for many years, and when I heard Parkland, I was like, wow, I know exactly where that's at. And I think just overall, it's sad, obviously, that you know these type of things happen, and I think it's definitely something that needs to be addressed on more than one in more than one direction. You know, sometimes we look for politicians to do things, or I think, you know, overall from every angle, every aspect, these type of things need to be addressed. And you know, everybody has to sort of do what they can in their own area or in their own power to try to make these type of changes in the community.
Definitely. And would you say that, you know, when these mass shootings happen, and for you, it hits so close to home because you've been there, would you say that these actually affect the hoods that, you know, you are trying to bring up and you're trying to change? Would you say that these affect the hood that you try to change each and every day?
Definitely. I think everything, I always tell people, it seems like everything rolls downhill. And even though, quote unquote, the hood is like what most people consider the bottom, it's just like everything else. It rolls downhill. So it has a definite effect on the hood from so many different aspects. Just, you know, guns and shooting and things like this. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, we experience a lot of this stuff in the hood, not on a mass setting like that in one setting, but it opens up your eyes to things. And I tell people all the time, you know, I heard what you guys were talking about mental health and things like that. And not to go off a little bit, but it's amazing. A lot of these things happen in the hood and mental health is never, you know, he shot the person. It's never, you know, mental health. So, you know, I think it's just a lot to look at overall. It's not going to be fixed in a month, a year. You know, I just think, like I said, from every angle needs to be addressed. And, you know, everybody got to try to do what they can to make it better for, you know, us, our families, our children, most importantly, because the children don't really have the protection like we have. So, you know, that's important to us as well.
No doubt. And I appreciate you saying that truth, because a lot of what you just said was definitely facts, right? And then when they so especially in this case, right, they're calling for mental health. One of the reasons why this young man committed the crime that he committed is due to mental health. And when you think of the hood, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? We see this time and time again, and we label it as, you know, ADHD, ADD, things like that. Mm-hmm. So by you being in the hood every day, you know what I'm saying, trying to change the narrative, you know, into a positive way. You know what I'm saying? How do you feel about mental health when it comes to, you know, the people who grow up in the hoods? Because we have mental health and PTSD based on the things that we see day by day in our 24 days. I mean, our 24 hours, you know, in a day. So what's your perspective on mental health when it comes from the hood, like the hood perspective?
Well, I think what happens is, I mean, obviously, me and my wife was talking about it before. When certain things happen, we're brought up that, you know, ain't no such thing as mental health. Like, we, you know, you have a problem, you talk to your homeboys, you go to church, and that's it. Like, the whole therapy and mental health thing, you know, that ain't happening. At least the way we grew up in the hood is like, mental health, boy, you ain't got no mental health. You better get out there and do what you're supposed
to
do.
Exactly.
So, you know, that from that standpoint, therapy, talking to people, that never was something that was sort of brought to us as far as a way out. So we don't recognize it like that. And then in a lot of cases, when we do recognize it, it's because of, you know, certain issues and things. In the case of when it is used, a lot of cases, unfortunately, is used to try to get a check. And that's all it's set up as. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna say that you got mental health problems so we can get this check, but really I just want this check every month. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, I have to keep it real, but that's how it's always been, at least from my hood, the hood that I've been in. It's either ain't nothing wrong with you, we don't talk to no therapists, we don't go to no doctors about no mental health, ain't nothing wrong with you, or it's something wrong and I just really need to get this check, you know.
And that's a fact. You really just dropped gems. You know what I'm saying? Because we look at it as an opportunity,
Right.
We definitely look at, you know, mental health as an opportunity. Even like this young man right now who just shot 17 people is looking for mental health as an opportunity, as a way out for what he
Right.
Did.
Exactly.
So definitely.
Exactly.
I agree with you on that one. And so I want to really get into it. Right. So when you say the word hood and you created a whole brand around hood estates, what mm-hmm. is your definition of the word hood? Because I know that you're trying to change it to a different narrative, but what is your definition, your own personal opinion of the word hood?
Well, hood is your environment, where you are. Right now, we're in the revive hood right now. You know what I'm saying? We in POC hood. It's where you are overall. And it's not necessarily the location, is where you are. Because, you know, no matter where I'm at, here, there, New York, wherever, my hood, I'm in my hood, you know, when I'm with my people. So sometimes people put a negative stigma on the hood. But to me, you know, you are your hood. You're your hood. If we all went out to the movies, guess what? We in our hood, because that's who we are. It's a part of who we are in our hearts. It's our culture. It's, you know, it's our environment. It's who we are as people.
I like how you said that, definitely, because that makes sense. It's whatever environment you decided you want to adapt to and you want to be a product of. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Right.
Definitely agree with you on that. So when it comes to Hood Estates, how did you actually start to develop Hood Estates, and what was the mindset that you had when you first said, you know what, this is about to be my business?
Right. Well, to be honest, what happened was for a long time, we were buying properties for investors. And, you know, just to be straight up, a lot of, you know, Jewish investors out of Miami. And at the time, they were hiring us to manage the properties, and they were buying a lot of properties in our communities, in the Black areas, in the Black hood, so to speak. And what we realized was that, you know what, we're managing these properties because we're the face. We're the face of what they need to see. Like, people, it was easier for us to manage than, I'll be honest, than some of these Jewish guys to go in these neighborhoods and talk with people and deal with them on a day-to-day basis. So that's what we were. And after a while, what started to come to light was that, you know, basically we're managing these things, but we don't have ownership. And it was like, okay, I can work here, but I can't own it. And eventually it just became like, wait a minute, these are our neighborhoods. Our dollar as a Black people is not really circulating amongst ourselves. So, you know, how can we get that to change? And one is, we need to start owning things in our communities, first starting off with real estate. And the whole thing was, we started to buy properties in the hood. So instead of saying real estate, we just started saying Hood Estates. So that's how the whole name and the brand came about, pretty much. But it was just from the fact of, you know what, we need to own real estate in our hoods, in our communities. And that's how it came about.
Definitely, definitely. And the other day, by you saying that, right? Definitely by you saying that. The other day you posted a video about taking a step back and looking at it from a different lens, or looking at it in a different way, right? So would you say, by, you know, people coming in and buying back, well, let's just say, because that's not buying back, they're pretty much buying into. So when you say, like, you know, people from other communities, such as the white Jewish community, come in to buy our blocks, would you say if we step back and look at it from a different lens, saying, hey, this could be us too, this can now change the dynamic of everything that's going on in our communities?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, they talk about it all the time. A lot of times you go in the hood and you see the guy that owns the corner store doesn't look like us. The guy that owns the laundromat doesn't look like us. The people that are renting properties, their landlords, don't look like us. And obviously, people are making money in our community, because if they wasn't, they wouldn't be there. If they wasn't, they wouldn't buy more property. If they wasn't, they wouldn't open up more corner stores. If they wasn't, they wouldn't open up more, you know, laundromats and so on and so forth. So there is money there. We as people are just not getting in on it, in a sense. And it's nothing against anybody else, but, you know, we have to buy, we have to own, you know, we have to do these things. And this is essential to our growth, essential to us and our success is owning things. And believe it or not, it's funny, most of the property, and I'll get into a little bit, but most of the property in the hood is obviously cheaper than everywhere else. So here's an opportunity to get in and get properties cheaper than other places. And they actually cash flow a little bit better. They do come with different types of obstacles, but what doesn't? And, you know, it's just, for me, it was just, hey, we have to do this. And, you know, we can't wait for anybody. We have to get in and do this ourselves and start to build this up. And, you know, that's what Hood Estates is about.
No doubt. And one thing that you just said is very, very factual. You said the money is there. And the thing about it is, though, we as people, we don't understand how much power in our dollar we actually have. Like, let's just take a prime example. Black Panther just came out this weekend. They're already at $213 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really just don't understand how powerful that black dollar is. And that's why they honestly keep coming into our environments. And that's why they keep coming into our communities, because they know we're going to spend. And the bad part about it is, we don't spend with ourselves. We would rather go out of our own to spend with others and continue to make them rich, versus, you know, spending with our own and supporting our own black dollar. And that's, but we are actually, you right. know, we're starting to wake up in that sense of, you know, buying black right. and supporting black. But I think it took us too long to wake up because now they actually own every corner. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
and we're,
right.
and the crazy part is they're owning every corner while we're standing out front of them, out front of their corners trying to make a dollar. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being in the store trying right. to make the dollar legitimately. So that's one thing I'm definitely waking up to and seeing myself. So you guys are also doing a challenge, which I love because you guys do motivation. You guys are inspiring people each and every day, you know, when it comes to buying back the block. So you guys have a money challenge, a money saving challenge going on too for the next 12 weeks. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. What came about, we started this Hood Estate page last year, January. We're only about a year old on Instagram. And when we first started, we started talking immediately about real estate, you know, buying property and buying these things like that. And what we realized, a lot of people were not in a position to, you know, buy property because they weren't in a financial position. And we had to rewind this thing and say, wait a minute. You know what? We're talking to a lot of people that haven't even saved $1,000. And no matter what, it's still all, this is all about financial freedom. The more money we make, the more wealthy we can become, the more we can help other people. See, it's one of those things that sometimes, you know, everybody, you know, we want to help, we want to do more, but we just have to be honest. Without the dollar, we can't help. And again, we have the dollar, but we're not keeping the dollar. So what we realized was a lot of times we were taught, at least I was taught, my mom always told me when I was growing up, hey, son, save. You know, I used to hear the saving thing, but that's all I was told. And I realized that it's more than saving. We have to invest this money. So we started this saving challenge. And the whole point of the savings challenge is not just to save. It's actually saving to invest. We don't talk saving without talking investment. To us, there's no such thing as just saving, because if you're just saving money, not you know, if, but when something happens, it will find somewhere to go. You have to make sure your money's making money. And this is how you get to financial freedom and build wealth. So the whole thing with a savings challenge was, let's start encouraging people to save this money and invest it. Save this money and invest it. Save this money and invest it. And it started off with the challenge actually last year around April, going into May, somewhere around that time. And we vowed to do it we're doing it every month. Like every 12 weeks, it starts over. And that's what I was telling people. This is not a fad. This is not a one-time challenge. This will be from now until the end. Because saving to invest should be a habit. It should be a lifestyle. It's not just, oh, this is a New Year resolution. Let me save from January to March and now I got this money. No, this is ongoing. It's the foundation. Saving to invest is the foundation of building wealth, at least by what we feel. So that's why we started a challenge. The first time we matched the challenge, me, my wife, Sandy, and our partner, Leander, with Nacal Capital, we matched someone $3,000 to help her start a hair store in Memphis. And the third go around, we gave away two pieces of vacant land here in Jacksonville. And these are just incentives and motivation for people to save. But that's what it's all about, saving to invest.
I seen that. I was like, whoa. And the crazy part is I was just talking to my sister Tad Money about this too, like buying lots. And once you buy lots, that is now your land and you can build whatever you want on top of the land. You know what I'm saying?
So exactly.
That's
exactly.
Definitely big. Like when I seen that, I was like, oh, they making some big strides, because you guys are also doing something with the trucks too. I'm not sure exactly what direction you're going in. That's why I wanted to ask you this question. I see you guys have, mm-hmm. you have people on your platform buying trucks. What is how does the trucks help when it comes to everything you guys are trying to do?
Okay, so cool. So the way the trucks work is, again, one of our whole things that we're pushing is passive income, because again, us have been taught all our lives that we trade time for dollars. So you have to go and earn income. Growing up, you got to go get a job. You have to work. If you know, I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying, hey, you know, look at my check. And what was told to them by the person they looked up to was, well, if you want more money, just work more hours.
Wow.
And that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, that's what we've been taught. You want more money? Work more hours. Work more hours. And we've been trading that. So what we wanted to get into was passive income. That's why we talk rental properties, because it's passive income. So with the trucking, we found a way, and, you know, after researching and being taught, we found a way that you can make passive income with owning a semi truck. For so many years, I thought that the guy that owns the truck, that drives the truck, is also the owner. And, you know, you had to get CDLs and you had to go out there and drive this truck to be in this business. And then we found that, no, you can actually own a truck like as an investment, sign the truck up with the third party company, hire a driver, and have this third party company handle all of the day-to-day operations. They handle dealing with the driver, mm-hmm. the dispatch, everything, the fuel, the whole nine, and you get cut a check every week.
Because it's your
and
truck.
And that's what we do. Yeah, because it's your truck, right. You're the owner. So now this is passive income. I mean, we make money every week from a truck that we don't drive. I make the joke sometimes. I hadn't seen the truck in over a year until about 2 weeks ago. I hadn't seen the driver in over a year until about 2 weeks ago when I had to meet up with him. But before that, you know, we don't deal with this. You're talking maybe an hour worth of work a month once it gets going. Maybe an hour a month. And you're getting a check every week. Now, obviously, everything comes with some form of, you know, you have to do things and everything is not just, you know, peaches and cream, but that's business, you know. But when you talk about it, it's still passive. And that was the thing. How do we create passive income? So that's what the truck investment brought to the table. Another form of passive income that now you're not trading time for dollars, you know.
Yo, that's a gem right there. What's the actual name of the trucks for the people who listen? Try and Google real quick. What's the name of the
truck? Oh, these are semi trucks. We get sleepers because we do what's called OTR, over the road. So these drivers go, you know, from city to city, state to state sometimes. So we get this, what they call sleeper trucks. But these are just semi trucks. We don't buy the trailers. We don't buy the containers. We just buy the truck itself. And we pass it to the company, and they sort of handle it from there. Now, there's ways to make a lot more if you wanted to get your own authority and your own DOT, and this, you know, it gets a little complicated. But if you wanted to get all of that, you can make a lot more. You can make, you know, probably 5-6 times more. I'm talking $6,000-$7,000 a week if you did all of that. But it comes with that work. Right now, we make about $1,000 a week from the truck, but we don't put in any, you know, time other than, like I said, maybe. That hour a month is literally us transferring the worker's, his payment every Friday to his account. And if the truck needs some repairs, you know, they'll call us and we'll make the payment over the phone. But I mean, you know, it's less than an hour a month if you really look at it. But that's the way we have it set up.
That is a gem, honestly. That is really, really big, because I never thought about that. You know, when we see those big trucks and trailers coming down the road, we automatically think they're mm-hmm. owned by the big corporations, you know, the Walmarts, the Targets
right.
of the world. So we never even think these can actually be black-owned businesses driving right past.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh,
know.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you real quick. I had a guy who was driving for one, and he didn't even know. He thought that he drove for the company that he was driving for. And after talking to me, he didn't even realize that he was driving for a guy who owned trucks like I do. The guy had 10 of them. And he was wondering why his checks used to come from a different name, company name, than the company that he reported to every day. And he didn't even know. And like you said, you get these contracts with Walmart, FedEx, Amazon, all these different people. And, you know, you can really get it going. And that was one of our other things. Like, we're so happy to know that now through us, we have about 8 truck owners that have come through us, all black owned, that own their own trucks, that are, you know, making passive income. And we have a few more that are due to get on the road, get their trucks on the road in the next few months. So we're really excited about that. Between that and the real estate, I told someone last year, we did over 100 doors between what we, you know, bought ourselves here in Jacksonville and people directly through Hood Estates purchase with us and through us here in Jacksonville as well. So we really big on the passive income. That's the big point behind it all.
That's really love. And you guys have now expanded outside of Jacksonville. So what other cities and states are you guys into right now?
Well, right now, our partner, Leander with Nacal Capital, we've been buying, you know, in Cleveland, a little bit in Cleveland. We're looking into Detroit right now. And a few other smaller markets. One of the biggest things is that we're going to these markets, are trying to do these markets where it's affordable, because a lot of people in markets like New York and California and even Miami, It is quite expensive to get in. And, you know, you got these markets like Cleveland, Detroit, even here in Jacksonville, especially in the hood, you can come in, you know, with under 20 grand, you know, in some cases, Cleveland, like 10, 12 grand. And I mean, you got a house that's, you know, ready to go and rent it for maybe $600-$800 a month. So that type of passive income is great, you know, and that's what we're looking to continue to grow and build from there.
Definitely. Right. So in order to invest in yourself with the initial investment, how much is an average person looking at for the initial investment to actually kick off the many investments that they're trying to do in the future?
Well, when you talk, when you talk real estate, again, it's really based on the market. If you're talking markets like Cleveland, Detroit, and here, you know, like I said, you can come in sometimes with 10 grand, 15 grand. With the truck, we've been financing the trucks. We have a guy that finances them for us. And, you know, you're looking at between 8 to 10 grand down, and that truck's going to, you know, make that money back usually within the first 5 or 6 months. But 8 to 10 grand down, about a 650, 670 credit score, and you can get that semi truck. So, and these are just two, but overall investments, I mean, you know, it's so much going on. You got cryptocurrency, you got stocks, you got so many different things going on. You can invest as little as, you know, $1,000 into things and get things going. There's just so many different options. The key is to get money working for you, to get into investments. Too, like I say, for too long, you know, we take our money and we spend on things that don't bring a return. We got to start buying assets, you know, that's going to bring us return, build our credit, do these things that's going to put us in the financial position that we can really make moves, because the dollar is what talks when at the end of the day, you know.
Definitely, man. I can't wait till that dollar, you know, walks away for real, because it's starting to. We got a call on the line, though, so I want to get to this caller and see if they have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Peace. What it do? This Tab Money.
What's up, Tab Money? You got a comment for us today?
Yeah, I just got a comment, and I'm going to try to come up with a question, too. I wanted to say mad respect and love to your organization and what y'all doing right now, because, like, people don't know that there was once a Black Wall Street in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm listening in right now, and this is what it sounds like, that it's, like, revitalizing, like, it's reviving, and that's what
exactly.
I'm appreciating. I just want to give out much love and respect to y'all, because
that's
what we need. And then my thing is, like, how do you get others to invest so we can be a part of it? And also I want to know, like, what are some ways that doing this can create jobs for others?
Okay, cool. Well, definitely, you know, if you're interested in investing with us, we actually have a little waiting list right now. But you can DM us. on Instagram at Hood Estates, or email us at hoodestates@gmail.com. But one of the biggest things we want to motivate people to do is to actually start to do this in your communities as well, and talk about pooling money together. See, that's the other thing. You know, you might not have 10 grand or 15 grand or 20 grand. You might have two or three, and somebody else might have three or four. We have to be able to start coming together and pooling our money together and our resources together to be able to grow. We can't do it by ourselves. We talk about. We talk about that all the time. You know, knowledge, time, and money are the three things needed to make any business or investment work. You don't have to have the money. You might just have the knowledge, or you might have the time. There are plenty of people out there that have money that's just sitting in the bank that's doing nothing. And, you know, you can bring them a return through this real estate. Or through trucking, or through any other type of investment. So I think that's a big thing, is to start to be able to pool together. Like, we have plenty of properties that we have partners with. I mean, plenty of them, you know. Some is one partner, some are two or three partners. But it's the key of owning something, only having a piece of the pie, and then you take your return from that piece of the pie and you keep stacking that up and compounding that till you're able to go and buy your own piece or your own whole pie. And that's and you just keep going like that. And that's sort of what we do, and how we try to, you know, educate and teach our people to do it like that.
That's super, super, super awesome and dope. But since you said that there is a waiting list, like, are you doing any workshops? What's good with the workshop and the education so we can do it in our own communities? Like, how can we, are y'all giving that out?
But Pocky, well,
yeah, definitely.
Pocky,
definitely. If you follow us on
Pocky,
everybody
that
knows us, mm-hmm, go ahead.
I'm sorry, because I wanted you to answer that question. But before you answer that question, she had a two-part question that I really wanted to know the answer to was, how is it creating jobs, though? Like, how can we create jobs?
Oh, yeah.
I really wanted to get that question
So definitely. The way that it creates jobs, obviously, from a real estate standpoint, once you buy the house, you know, you obviously, in some cases, need rehab work done. So we're able to go and hire people to be able to handle the rehabs. And another big one is property management. These properties need to be managed. I tell our family on Hood Estates all the time, there is a open space for managing properties in the hood. There's not a lot of management companies or managers that manage properties in the hood. So now here's an opportunity to create your own income, be your own boss by managing these properties in the hood. Especially, you know, like I tell people, it was easier for us because we're from the hood. So we deal with it. It's like, you know, a lot of these people didn't want to go into the hood because they didn't understand it. But you from the hood, you've been there, we got family there. So you know how to deal with people in the hood. And it was a chance to start a business. So property management is one. Rehab is another one. With the trucking, you're definitely able to hire a driver.
Awesome.
Maybe even going to the mechanics that can fix these trucks. So, you know, from a small scale, you definitely can create jobs. But a big thing that we push for is, I mean, everybody has to create some income. But we're definitely trying to push for not just the job creation, but building wealth through ownership, owning the business. You know, anything that you do as a job, you can have a business. That's what we learned, even with the property management. Instead of me working for somebody managing property, why don't I start my own property management company, you know, and build from there? So that's one of the things that we really push as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then now to answer her last question, I didn't mean to cut you guys off, but I really wanted to understand
how you
create jobs off of it, right? But her last question was workshops. Are you kicking out the knowledge and the information for people to find out more?
Definitely, definitely. If you go to our Instagram page and click on the link in our bio, we definitely have products there that show a lot of people say our page is a walking informational platform. You know, we give out a lot of information, a lot of gems. We go live a lot. And we also have mentorships that we do. Same thing. We don't do a lot of people because we're really focused on quality, making sure whoever we're mentoring is getting the most out of it. But if you, DM us or email us, we can give you more information. And we're looking to put together some more seminars and things like that. I mean, the seminars are good. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that we just haven't done like that, because for years I've been to seminars and people go to seminars and it's, you know, it's like a hype for a minute. Like, you at the seminar, you hype, you know, you're so hype. And then when the seminar is over, it's sort of like back to routine. So what we realize is we got to start changing the mindset. And a lot of cases, a lot of people need accountability. They need someone to be accountable to. So that one-on-one is good. And, you know, having this community where, you know, you can sort of on a daily basis or a weekly basis build with someone and work with each other. And this is why we go, you know, do a lot through Instagram, because it's sort of like a platform where we can, you know, really connect with people, you know, more often than, you know, a one-time seminar. So definitely follow us on Instagram and, you know, click on the link in the bio. We have that. We actually also, we do consultant calls where you can call and talk directly to me for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. And I can literally help you put the plan together. I can literally help guide you. And, you know, you can call as much as you want and we can, you know, put that plan together and plan.
Don't tell them to call as much as you want. You got to remember, you're on live radio right now. Your phone about to start going up. Definitely. Yo, Tab.
Well, you know, you're right.
So I also wanted to get back into it, too. Tab Money, I appreciate you calling in with those some amazing, amazing questions, too. But I wanted to get back into it, and I want you to try to answer these questions. Well, not answer these questions. I want you to try to define these words, these key term words, in one or two, with one or two words, because I don't want you to go all the way into it, because I know they can be long, drawn out with definitions. But I want you to define these words with two or more, two or less words, because if we say more, it's going to be drawn out. Two or less words, right? So first, I want to start with tax deeds.
Tax deed.
Like, how can you give someone that, and like, explain it to someone with one word or two words?
your house is sold because you didn't pay taxes.
Okay. Flipping houses.
Buying low, selling high.
I like that one. House hacking.
The property you live in is an investment.
That's a good one. Realty funds.
Pooling money together to buy real estate.
I'm with that one. And last one, wholesaling.
I would say buying property without owning it, or selling property without actually owning it.
Okay. I like that one because I definitely did not know what wholesaling was myself. And the reason why I wanted to bring these up, because these are vocabulary words that you see throughout the real estate world. You know what I mean? And when people come to, you know, the table to sit down to buy these homes, they might not even know the jargon and things like that people are using. And it can confuse them at times. And that's how they get up in a 360 deal or something.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to ask you these questions, you know, so you can give that one specific answer of to what you should be looking for instead of like these long drawn out definitions what people try to give all the time, and next you know they're confused. It's like, what you just say? So that's why I wanted to give you that right there. And I appreciate you coming on the Revive platform once again. Definitely look out for a call from me, because I definitely have a lot more questions I want to know personally. But I want you to go ahead and give yourself a shout out and tell the people where they can find you, your websites, and how they can connect with you guys at Hood Estates.
Okay, well, definitely. We appreciate you having us. I got my wife here, Sandy. She's a second part of Hood Estates. I can never leave her out.
Definitely,
we appreciate you having us. You can find us on Instagram at Hood Estates, on Facebook at Hood Estates 1, and Twitter as well. You can email us at hoodestates@gmail.com. The website is under construction, but it will be hoodestates.com. We're under construction with it right now. But definitely reach out to us. We answer our DMs. We respond. So we're just a DM away, as they say.
Man, no doubt. I appreciate you coming on this morning and blessing the Revive Airways. And I love that you guys are doing that family wealth that's going to definitely create that generational wealth, man. I appreciate that. And I hope you guys keep putting out these blessings to each and everybody. And I wish you many blessings on your future endeavor.
Definitely. We appreciate you as well.
No doubt. Man, that just wrapped up a great interview with Hood Estates. Man, make sure you guys follow them right now, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hood Estates. They're doing an amazing job out here creating a lane that we all have not seen, but they're doing it in so many different ways, man. I'm trying. Yo, Harmony, we need some property. You hear me? We need some Revive property. I'm definitely about to hit up Hood Estates right now. But we're going to go to a quick commercial. But before we get to our next guest today, man, Lanelle Grant, I'm really excited to be speaking with her. She is somebody who's doing amazing things. We have a jam-packed show for you guys here on Revive Radio. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We're reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. this afternoon, man. Stay tuned. It's me, your girl, POC. Click that link in my bio right now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com. Not a Wu-Tanger.
From the outside, it's easy to think that somebody's got it all figured out. Because my hair is curled and my cheeks are intentionally flushed, I must not have a care in the world. As if it were expected for my demons to be worn like a scarlet letter pinned to my chest. And they assume if you cannot see it, then it's not really there. As if pain does not exist unless you're bleeding or slung in a cast or staggering with a limp. But sometimes the most painful demons are the ones they can't even see. So we learn how to smile, how to grin and bear it, because nobody likes to talk about the tough stuff. Hell, I don't like to talk about the tough stuff. I have anxiety. It feels like every cell in my body is moving so fast that my veins are blurry, that despite the constant metronome of my heartbeat inside my ears, it's like listening to a spastic drumline. feels like bees in my ears, like a broken white noise machine playing all of the sounds at once. And I don't even realize I'm gritting my teeth or cracking my knuckles or rubbing my forefinger against my pinky or twisting the gold band on my middle finger, holding onto myself like I'm the only lifeline bridging the gap between reality on my own 2 feet and the atomically loud abyss of noises and sounds and feelings of fleeting rushing through my veins. And I'm avoiding eye contact. Not because I'm not listening to what you're saying, because I'm listening to the sound of my own voice, hoping that through your ears you can't hear that it's 2 octaves too high and on the verge of breaking because my palms are sweating and I somehow forgot to speak with anything behind my words other than insecurity. My anxiety feels like fire. Unexplainably hot and rash and frustrating as I gnaw the inside of my cheek as if the solution to this feeling is buried between my teeth and gums. It feels like drowning, but it feels like burning, and it feels like fucking forever. I imagine my feet moving with trails of dust behind them like those cartoons, because somehow it feels like I'm moving faster than the 60 seconds they've allowed in a minute. All the while, I'm just playing catch up on the stopwatch. Doesn't add up like it did in high school mathematics. I can't carry the one and find the square root of the problem, because most of the time there is no problem. There's no life or death situation. There's no rhyme or reason. There is just feelings, and I'm feeling all of them at once.
Cause it don't perfect. Holy shit, got my hands up. Still wanna kill me, they don't understand them. They be looking for a reason, just shoot. They wanna do me, how to do it's in the mood. How they do it, I'm Baton Rouge. I'm Ferguson, Florida, or Baltimore, they make excuses. Like I did it cause I thought he had a pistol. Or I did it cause I thought he was Muslim. I missed it to America, fell on the death field. The lack of a guy, we just suffered, left here. First you put us to a small hood, and then you beat us and you treat us like it's all good. And you screw us economically mentally. Kill a nigga, no penalty, they can do that shit legally. Bet I can make that thing for the shoot. You kill me, man, they gon' be more than some riding loot. Man, we say black lives matter, you say all lives. But y'all ain't the one getting all tied. Persecuted, executed. One day it gon' be time for retribution. Hope you don't ever see your son in an institution. I know karma is constant, and God ain't no nonsense. You doing wrong, did the run shit. One day the time gon' run out for the dumb shit. Ain't no deception trying to get in heaven. You getting there, bet it's on your marriage. And you know what you did for who, how much you really care. And where you really fail. He gon' deny the opportunity to unify with people who look similar to you and I. Cause he don't wanna help.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC.
You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC, host of Revive. You are now back. Listen to me. Locked in with Revive Radio right now, each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on Time for an Awakening. And you already know you can listen to us live on reviveisalive.com. Once again, that's reviveisalive.com. Or you can go to directly to TuneIn, or you can go to the website, or you can download the app and just search Time for an Awakening on the TuneIn app. Say, meet your girl, POC, reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you already know each and every winning Wednesday here on Time for an Awakening, we go live from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Let's stay connected. And how we can stay connected is by subscribing right now to that Revive newsletter, man. Subscribe right now to that Revive newsletter. You can find that link on reviveisalive.com. You already know you can follow me Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. We have another special guest coming on the Revive platform. I'm excited to be speaking with, man. She is doing some incredible, game-changing, impacting moves, man. I found her when she made a track entitled History for the Nigerian bobsled team that just competed in this Winter Olympics this 2018, man. And I'm like, oh, we got to get on the show, man. Harmony, go ahead and tell the people a little bit about her.
Yes, so we have Linnell Grant coming up from Houston, Texas. She's always been a fan of music and poetry. She calls herself a hip-hop connoisseur. She wasn't originally exposed to the music production opportunities when she left college, so she hooped and got a BA, bachelor's in psychology and business. She always wanted to help kids, teenagers specifically, so she became a high school coach and teacher. Teaching is difficult, but it's rewarding. She went back to school in 2015 and became a certified audio engineer. Shortly after, started volunteering with Toby, nonprofit team Jenny that serves socially, economically challenged youth. And the main mission is to make purpose popular using whatever tool God lends us at the time. Right now, it's music for her. Thank you so much and welcome to the platform.
Linnell, how you feeling today?
What's up? I appreciate y'all having me. Can y'all hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear, man. I'm excited to be speaking with you today here on Revive. Thank you for coming through and blessing us today, man. I'm excited to be speaking with you. You just did something truly amazing, man. You just dropped a track entitled History that honestly went viral here. Like, I'm like, yo, everybody need to listen to this right now. How has that experience? Well, before we even get into that, I want you to introduce yourself and tell the people exactly who we're speaking with.
Okay, well, I'm Linnell Grant. I'm from Houston, Texas, born and raised, music producer, like y'all just read so eloquently from the bio, and just out here doing the music and trying to make purpose popular and just walking in the light that God gives me.
No doubt. And when you say music, what kind of music are you making for the people? Because it's a lot of music out here. It's a lot of whack rappers
right.
out here, too. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of music are you
definitely,
making?
Definitely ain't working with no mumble rappers. but no, right now it's definitely hip-hop. Because hip-hop has such like a huge and wide platform. Everybody listens to hip-hop. You know, when hip-hop first started, it was definitely something very personal. And very intricate in the hood, but now it's like it's widespread and it's worldwide. So if you want to change the lives of our youth, especially our African American youth, hip-hop definitely has their ear. So right now it's hip-hop, working with Toby Nwigwe, one of my longtime friends here out of Houston, and we just riding this hip-hop thing.
Definitely. So when it comes to hip hop, because hip hop scene has definitely changed, you know what I mean? Because at one minute it had a purpose. At one time it had a purpose. Next, you know what I mean? You couldn't tell the difference between pop and hip hop. And now we're just on, like how you said, the mumble rap, the trap music, things like that. So by you being, you know, an engineer, you know, a producer, where do you see the game of hip hop now in the state in 2018?
I definitely think that people can clearly see a move back to what hip hop was intended for. And hip-hop basically started as a voice for the people in this community, a way for them to talk about their fun, a way for them to talk about their problems, a way for them to shed light on the things that were important to them. And you definitely can see that there was a party time for hip-hop, you know, where the only songs that you hear were, you know, party songs or, you know, just getting live songs. And that still has its place. But I definitely think that people can see that it is coming back around to, hey, let's talk about what's going on in our communities. Let's talk about uplifting our communities. Let's talk about some of the realness of life. So as far as hip hop future, me personally, I see it coming back around to its initial intended use, which was to uplift the community and to talk about the things in the community.
Definitely. And what you guys are doing, you guys are putting out that conscious music, you know, that music that makes people want to work woke, go out and be woke, you know, speak woke, you know, dress
for sure.
Woke even, you know what I'm saying? So how has that changed or influenced the hip hop community?
Oh, man, it's amazing to watch. First and foremost, like we do it through the music, but we do it through our works first. Right. You know, like it's one thing, you know, to be like talking about this stuff like in the song. But it's literally the way we live our lives. For example, like I'm a teacher. Like my 9-to-5 is teaching from 7 to 3 every day. Like that's what I do. I teach. And so like, that's the way that I impact the community and the youth. We also do nonprofits. So to see it in music and then to see like my kids in the hallways, like come up to you, like Miss, we heard your song. Miss, your song is fire. And to know that means a lot coming from them because they have so much other music at their disposal. Like at any moment, they could be listening to anything else, you know, that's deteriorating their lifestyle and in their minds, but they choose to listen to us. So that says that we have something. So we're really excited to be pushing it.
Definitely. And you said the kids run up to you and they like, yo, your music is fire. How do you incorporate that into your teaching style? You know what I mean? Because some people learn more hands-on if you give them a beat, if you give them a tune to how they're reading, you know, the English books and stuff in class. So how have you intertwined your music and your teaching styles?
Well, I'm actually an English teacher, so it's very easy. I teach English, so I teach, you know, I teach reading and writing. So as long as the kids at the end of the day are learning to read and write, I can, you know, pretty much do whatever I want, you know, just making sure that I guard kids' gateways. So, yeah, we have projects. You know, I do a big music project at the end of every year where I have the kids make their own music video. So they have to come up with the words. I bring the lyrics. I bring my music equipment in. They make their own beats. They sing on their own tracks. They rap on their own tracks.
Hey.
And then they make a visual for the project. And you kind of think, guys, like high school kids, but these kids, like when given the opportunity to be creative in ways that they like, they're amazing. They really are amazing. So it's very easy to intertwine it, you know, in the day-to-day lessons and teachings that in the classroom.
No doubt. And you are in Houston and everything that just happened, you know, this past 2017 with the flood and everything, and by you being hands on with the students, were you able to see them bounce back really quickly? Did you see them join in, you know, the unity get a little bit stronger, or how was everything bouncing back from after the flood and everything?
It's crazy that you asked that. I heard y'all talking about PTSD earlier. And our kid, and that just basically comes from trauma. And if you can understand that, you know, everybody has like dealt with some kind of trauma in their lives. So really everybody has it. So just kind of like with the kids when coming back, people deal with it in different ways. You know, some people, you know, some kids just want to get right over it. You know, some kids don't really want to talk about it. You know, some kids you can kind of tell think something has changed because just their appearance has changed. You know, they're cycling through the same clothes, you know, 2 and 3 days. So you just like, as a teacher, you have to be vigilant and you have to be observant. And you have to be adaptive. You know, some kids may want to talk to you. Some kids, you know, they might just want, you know, a quick hug and then they're good. But it's definitely case by case. My family personally, you know, we're affected, you know, by the flood, and my parents' house flooded, you know. So just as a community, helping where you can and receiving the help and being strong enough to receive help is a big deal, too. So I always tell my kids about that, you know, during adversity or times in your life, make sure that you're strong enough to receive the help that you need.
That's a fact, man. And by you being there hands-on, like, you really honestly, truly play a big role in that, you know, helping them to overcome that, you know, whatever kind of trauma they face. So I appreciate you down there doing the work, because you could have been like, you know, I'm out of here, you know, and you didn't.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that, because a lot of people would just get up and leave. Like, I don't got time. I got to deal with my own family. I got to deal with this, got to deal with that. And the fact that you still, you know, are a school teacher down there in Houston trying to make a difference, trying to make a change is really, really impacting. And I love that, definitely. So I want to jump back into the music quickly too. So you are a woman producer. How does that feel like? Do you like when people title you and put your gender before, you know, your actual occupation and what you do and your gifts and your talents? How do you make sure that they don't define you as just a woman producer or a woman engineer?
I definitely think it depends on the person. Me personally, I have no problem being defined as a woman because I am a woman.
Love it.
So it doesn't bother me. You know, like that's what God made me as. So to identify me as such is not a problem. I haven't personally run into any gender specific problems, and I think that has a lot to do with the crew that I run with. You know, and the people that I work with. I screen them accordingly, and I work with my family. I work with, you know, Toby Nwigwe. He's going to look out for me. He's not going to put me in any situation or have us in any situation where we'd be working with somebody that would be degrading. But I love being a woman producer, not so much for me, but for the young girls watching me. You know, that in a field where there aren't, you know, a whole lot of us. So just to have, like, girls watching me, like, it's crazy. Since we dropped the history video, I've had so many, like, young girls in my DMs asking, you know, how I can help them, how I can put them up on game, you know, some tips about producing or navigating the industry. And my biggest thing is don't compromise. Don't put yourself in situations where you're not comfortable doing something, but you're going to go ahead and do it just because you think it's going to move you to the next platform. That's really not how it works. And at the end of the day, you're going to feel some guilt and shame within yourself. So, you know, operate in the ways that you want to operate. And there are guys and other gals out there who will be more than willing to work with you in the right ways.
No doubt. I love how you said that I am woman. You know what I mean? Like, some people.
Yeah, like, I have no problem being identified as such.
No doubt. And one thing I love to claim, too, I am a black woman. You know what I mean? Some people try to discourage that, too. So it's like, no, like, I want to walk in my purpose. And if you really feel like my talents and my gifts is something that you want, then you got to accept me for who I am. So I definitely agree with you on that one. So would you say, being in this industry, because it is predominantly male, how would you say you have been able to thrive in your own lane and by you creating? Because I feel like you created your own lane, especially when you run it with Toby, because what you guys are doing is completely different, you know, something that we haven't seen before. So how do you feel like, you know, your lane that you created is making a huge impact?
Don't be a copycat. And it's kind of hard from the beginning of hip hop. So, yeah, you're going to see, you know, a lot of repetitive things. But just walk in your truth and understand that, what you do is not going to be for everybody. Like, it's just not the way it works. Like, you can't, you know, it's hard to make music for everybody. So just, you know, make the music that you know how to make and make it fire. I think, you know, sometimes people want to say that they didn't get to this place or that place because, you know, somebody was hating on them, when really it just wasn't fire. Like, it's just not fire. So before I ever say somebody didn't want to work with me because I'm a woman, I look at, you know, what I made. Was it actually fire? You know, was it actually the best thing that I could put out at that point? You know, never compromise on what you put out. And that's something major that I've learned from working with Toby. You know, we're just not going to compromise. Everything that we put out is going to be fire. You know, we're going to meet deadlines and we're going to put out fire music.
I'm with you on it. Y'all definitely are doing that, especially with the Sundays. I'm like, yo, I be waiting for the Sundays to come through. So when you're actually sitting down and producing a track, like, what is motivating you? What is inspiring you to put out, you know, that different production that you're doing? Because you're not putting out the everyday trap kind of producing songs. Like, what inspires you to keep going based on the sounds that you're creating?
Man, I'm so glad you asked that, because as a creative and just like artists in general, you know, when I started producing, like 5 or 6 years ago, I was so upset with myself because I would sit down and I'd be like, man, like, it's not just coming to me out of the clouds. Like, why can't I, you know, just create something wonderful like right now? And then I took the class at my community college. And the first thing that the professor said is, like, a lot of artists get down on themselves because they just don't make something spectacular when they sit down. But you have to give yourself guidelines. You have to know, you know, who your audience is. I mean, when she starts saying this, as an English teacher, it just clicked, because every time you write, you got to know who the audience is. You write with a purpose. You know, you write about a specific topic. And so the same thing with, like, creating. Sometimes you can sit down and you can, you know, paint a masterpiece out of no, you know, requirements. But most time when I'm working, we have a very, very specific goal in mind. Hey, you know, it's crazy because Toby hit me like the Friday before. Like, we drop him every Sunday, but he hit me the Friday before, like, in a very short text message, need a fire African beat for tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, but that my requirement, you know, that was the guidelines that I was working off of. So, like, to all the artists, like, do not get down on yourself for not being able to create masterpieces out of thin air. Give yourself some guidelines, you know, who, what, when, where, why, and how. And it's a lot easier to create when you have, you know, parameters.
No doubt. And Linnell, you have a caller on the line, too, so I want to get to this caller really quick, see if they have a comment or a question for you. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? Caller, we can hear you. All right, I guess we lost them. So when you were saying that, you know, you guys sat down and you wanted to make a quick, dope African beat, like, what was that one thing that you was like, I got to make an African beat? Like, what was going through your mind at that time?
Me and Toby, we work together. So, like, how the process usually goes, like, he'll tell me, like, you know, okay, hey, let's do this. I do my rendition of it, you know, then he comes back and is like, okay, hey, like, let's try this or let's add this. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's add it this way. So the way it happened is, he hit me with the text. I made what I thought, you know, would suffice. And whenever, you know, we say African, I'm immediately thinking, like, African drums. So, like, we're going to get some, you know, some toms in there. We're going to get some bongos and stuff in there. And like, some shakers or whatever. And I know that might not mean a lot to many people out there, but for the producers. so we sit down, and so then he listens to it. And so he says, like, hey, like, let's put the anthem in it. Or, hey, let's put, you know, some voiceovers in it. And so I find a sweet spot, you know, for the things to land. Then we listen to the product. We give it a couple hours. We come back to it. Hey, let's do this. He puts the vocals on it, and then it's in the running. So, like, it's, you know, it's sometimes it's a very quick process, but a Get Twisted Sundays, a lot of times it's a very quick process. But as far as stuff like on the album, you know, it's days. Like, you comb over the track like a gazillion times before, you know, the track has found its sweet spot and you're happy with it.
No doubt, no doubt. And before the history song, because I definitely want to get into that a little bit too, but before that, what is another song or another track that you're just super proud about?
Oh my gosh. There are so many working with Toby. I would say most proud, From the SWAT. So he has a album out right now, Toby from the SWAT. You can find that everywhere. Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud.
Definitely.
Everywhere. Yeah, title everywhere. And the second track on there, From the SWAT, man, it is heavy. It's real heavy. And we like heavy, so I think that one I'm most proud of.
No doubt. And when it comes to music, right, how far do you see it taking you? Because, you know, producers now, like, let's just think about, like, a DJ Khaled. You know what I mean? Like, DJ Khaled is on the floor. He is doing, he has, you know, sponsorship by Almond Milk. Like, he's doing so many different things, and it all started with that production board. You know what I'm saying? So how far do you see it taking you? Or where have you dreamt about going in with the engineering and everything that you're doing?
Right. Definitely. I would love to see music take care of my livelihood, you know, for the rest of my life. You know, I think, you know, that's everybody's kind of when they get into it. It takes some work, and, you know, it takes some ingenuity. But that's what I see. But I'm not so arrogant that I don't understand that God could change the path, you know, tomorrow. So, you know, the biggest thing is to make purpose popular. In whatever way God lands at that moment. Right now, you know, God is being so gracious to allow me to do music. And I think it's so long as my mission, you know, that stays the same. So long as our mission stays the same about why we're doing what we do, you know, we will be allowed to do it. You know, I don't ever want to disrespect the gift that I've been given to make music to change people's lives, especially the youth. So as long as I'm doing that, I think God will let me do it. Until God says different, then I'll move on whatever platform that is.
I love your answer, man. That definitely came from a spiritual place. I love that answer. But like a question I wanted to follow up with was like, so as I gave you the example about the DJ Khaleds, you know what I mean? And back in the day, you had the Puff Daddies with the producers always in the song, you know what I mean? Dancing
for sure.
In the videos and things like that. Do you think that producers still have a lane that they have? Like, do you think that they should only solid just be the producers, or do you think they should be the ones hosting the mixtapes and hosting the soundtracks or the EPs and speaking on the tracks and, you know, having the different drops on the tracks? Or do you think they should literally just be the engineer behind the scenes?
Right. I definitely could never speak for what somebody else wanted to do. You know, some people aren't just people who want to be in a spotlight. A lot of people are producers because they like the idea of being behind the track, heavily influencing the track, but not having to necessarily push and be the face of the track. So, yeah, like if producers want to continue to do that, like, that's fine. But I also think that you could see that a lot of producers are like, hey, like, we want shine too. You know, we're kind of seeing that with the DJ Khaleds and just people knowing producers' names. You know, like, people never really like knew producers' names, and now, like, you can kind of like identify like who made a track. So it's kind of to each his own. Me personally, I like the seat of, you know, of driving the track and people knowing, you know, like, hey, like, I made this track, because you definitely want props for your music. But I can see the producer kind of going back to where hip hop was in the beginning. So, like, in the beginning, the producer would be synonymous with the DJ. So nobody was listening to acapellas or, like, you know, acapella tracks. Like, nobody came to hear that. So you need the beat behind you, especially, like, with Run DMC. You see, you got, you know, his DJ on stage with him. So I kind of see it moving back towards that, and rightfully so. I think a lot of producers have been snubbed in the past, and it's the artist's job, you know, to give props
on.
And credit what credit is due.
That's a fact. And Linnell, before we let you go, we do have two callers on the line. Let me see if these calls are going to come through. Hey, callers, you were live on Revive. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yo, what's up? This is Maul from Maryland.
Hey, Maul from Maryland. You got a question for our guest today?
Yeah. All right. I'm an upcoming producer, and from producer to producer, what type of, I guess I could say, skills or advice you can give me?
Adaptability and execution. So you got to be able to adapt. When I first started working with Toby, what I know how to do now, I didn't know how to do any of that. And just situational based, like he'll give me a task and like I have to complete that task and I have to figure out how to complete that task. So you have to be willing to adapt, you know, and learn things that you don't know. Number two, execute. Like everybody make beats. Yeah, you make beats, he make beats, she make beats. So a thing that'll set you ahead is being able to execute and execute daily. And that's something that I had to learn very, very quickly working with Toby. Because at the end of the day, like these artists not going to stop if you don't give them a beat. What they going to do? They're just going to go to somebody else. So if you want to be the one, then you have to execute, you know, the task given to you. But you also got to be working with somebody that you don't mind executing for. That's huge.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, Mo, for calling in. We got another quick caller I want to get into, too. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is Destiny out of Jersey. Thank you so much for coming on Revive Radio. I truly appreciate what you're doing, Linnell. Like, you are very inspiring, definitely. I wanted to ask a question about your music and your teaching. So what kind of imprint or what type of message did you want to, like, do you want to leave when you're producing, especially with the track, the history track, which I absolutely love. It was but what type of message did you want to leave while producing that? What did you want people to take from that?
To respect who you are and where you come from and to appreciate it. I'm not personally Nigerian, but, you know, I have a lot of friends who are. And one of the things that I envy most from them sometimes is just this pride that they carry throughout adversity. Like, these are the kids, like, who were called African booty scratchers, like, when we were in elementary. And now you look at it, and everybody, like, is trying to get back to Africa. Everybody is trying to, you know, like, figure out their African roots. And they're able to just walk so proudly in who they are right now. So especially, like, with the history track, man, be proud of who you are, where you come from, you know, in the things that you have endured, you know, up until this point. That's definitely the message from that track.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Destiny from Jersey, asking that good question, man. And I agree with you there, because I'm definitely, and I'm not even going to sit here and fake Linnell. I was definitely one of those kids in school, like, oh, you African booty scratches, right? I'm not even going to fake, because that's what we were taught. You know, systematically, we were taught to, you know, make fun of people who were from Africa, you know what I mean? Not even knowing that at the end of the day, African comes before the American part, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, exactly.
So it's something
exactly.
We have to be taught. We definitely have to be taught that. And I love the fact that even when Toby dropped that on the social media, he even put that comment on there. This is for all the people who was once called them African scratches. So that is really big, man. Now, can you go ahead and give yourself a shout out? How do people can find you if they're looking for some, you know, some tracks, some production from you, how they can get in contact with you?
Oh, for sure. I'm on Instagram and all social media at Linnell Grant, LanellGrant, kind of like it sounds. And the music, you can find it. You can find it on Apple, SoundCloud. Like I said, Toby's album out right now, his EP out right now. Toby from the SWAT. I have out of the 10 tracks on there, I have 6. So
heavy.
9 times out of 10 on
heavy.
The track. Well, 6 times out of 10 actually. if you listen to the album, I'm definitely on there.
That's love, man. I appreciate you coming through and showing support here to today on Revive, man. I'm actually going to go play that as we on our way out ourselves, man, off these airways. I'm actually going to play the history track right now. I'm going to drop it for the people who haven't heard it. And if they have heard it, they're going to hear it again here on Revive, man. I appreciate you, man. I definitely want to stay in connection. I'm trying to come out to Houston to see what it's all about, man. I'm definitely trying to jump.
Hey, I'm trying to come out to Philly. Like, I've been trying to get to Philly for forever. Jill Scott, one of my favorite artists. I want to go to Philly just off Jill, so I'm trying to get out there.
Man, definitely, let's make some connection and let's stay connected, definitely. And I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors. And let Toby know
sure,
we said what's up here at Revive, man. Let Toby know we said what's up.
All right.
All right, have a good one. Man, that just wrapped up another great interview with Lanell Grant. Make sure you guys go follow her Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lanell Grant. And if you're somebody serious about this music thing, man, she is definitely the one that needs to be hit up right now. Hit her up right now, man. Make her the next big producer, because I already know she's going to be the next big producer, man. You already know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. This wraps up another great episode of Revive Radio. Thank you to all the lovely callers who called in. Thank you to all the special guests who came through and blessed the airwaves with me today, man. I really appreciate you guys. We'll be live on Monday on DG Radio. Make sure you guys tune in. Each and every Monday, we reviving airwaves from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on DG. Tune in. And each and every Wednesday, we reviving airwaves here on Time for Awakening. You already know, subscribe to the Revive newsletter, which you can find at reviveisalive.com. And you already know, you can follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Yo, Harmony, how can you leave them imprints on them people?
Yes, so you can definitely follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Harmony the Goddess. Also, you can check out Discover Remedy on social media platforms as well. You can find us at Remedy Spa and Wellness. We do all types of packages. We have all types of packages, massages, spa, yoga. We come to you or you can come to us. And so just live in peace, not pieces, and allow us to find your remedy.
No doubt. You guys got a special going on the whole month of February. How can they get in with that special for February?
Yeah, so you can definitely check out the website, discoverremedy.com. We have various of different packages for Valentine's Day, because every day you should spread love. So we are spreading love all throughout February, and you definitely want to check that out. You can follow on my story on Instagram. You can check out the Discover Remedy on social media, or you can Google Remedy Spa and Wellness on Germantown Avenue. So definitely that's where you can find some.
No doubt, man. If you stressed out, got a little kink in your neck, a little lower back hurt, you already know Harmony the Goddess is the place to be. She going to leave a great imprint on you, man. It's only right that we take the show out like this. We going to play that Toby Nguyen history produced by Lanell Grant, one of our special guests today, man. You already know I'm thankful for you guys. Peace. Have a great week.